Federal budget cuts have been good for drug traffickers. The Coast Guard slashed its operating costs by a quarter last year because of sequestration. Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Bob Papp recently told an industry gathering in San Diego that U.S. cutters track just a third of the drugs smuggling boats and planes that travel between Latin America and the United States. He says the Coast Guard's resources are woefully inadequate. For more, we've asked Admiral Papp to join us. Good morning.
Good morning, Emily, and good morning to you, Tom, as well.
So, first of all, tell us a little bit more about what you were saying to the defense industry at that gathering in San Diego. What did the sequestration and the overall budget situation do to the drug interdictions and that enforcement?
Well, Emily, you know, the Coast Guard is a part of the Department of Homeland Security's layered security approach to our borders. And the maritime border is really the toughest to take care of. And what you want to do is interdict any threats to your country as far out at sea as possible. We're focusing on the drug threat here this morning. And what we have is there's approximately 800 metric tons of cocaine produced in South America. There's about 400 metric tons of cocaine consumed across the United States. The best place to stop that is to interdict it in what we call the transit zone, when it leaves South America by ship or boat and goes into Central America, and then gets broken down into smaller loads for transport across the border into the United States. The Coast Guard interdicts multi-ton loads in the transit zone as opposed to police capturing small packets on the streets. So we try to keep our cutters forward deployed, but last year's sequestration forced us to reduce our cutter presence down there by about 25%, and what we saw as a result was about a 30% less cocaine interdicted in that transit zone.
So it wasn't a lack of vessels, but a lack of money to pay to have the man hours to do the interdiction work?
Well, Tom, it equates to a lack of vessels because if we can't put the fuel in the ships, we can't send them downrange. I'll just give you a for instance. Let's say if we generally have about six or seven ships deployed downrange, either in the Caribbean or the Eastern Pacific, we were probably at times last year down to one ship on either side of Central America. So you just have fewer assets you're able to send down there, and there are going to be more drugs getting through.
And were those cutters, were they docked? I mean, were they just waiting until some money came in?
Absolutely. It was a tremendous waste of assets. We've got good ships and good people out there that want to do their jobs, but putting fuel in ships is one of the most expensive things we do. And during sequestration, the only option we had was to cut money out of operations because there are other protected accounts like pay accounts that we could not go into. So sequestration resulted in a direct decline of Coast Guard operations.
It must feel a little bit frustrating because for so many years the Coast Guard is now recognized to have been underfunded, and finally around, you know, 2007, 8, 9, 10, that reversed somewhat, and there was new shipbuilding going on and new programs. They got past some procurement programs, and then here you are back into this situation. It must be tough to have had good funding to get back up to the strength the Coast Guard needed and not be able to use it.
Well, the good thing over the last few years and during my tenure as commandant has been that the administration and the Congress working together have kept our shipbuilding programs going. With the 15 budget that's up on the Hill right now, the administration has put in money for our 8th National Security Cutter, which will complete that project, and we're embarked on another project now to replace our medium endurance cutters that we use for drug interdiction and migrant interdiction. So my focus has been on to rebuild our infrastructure because my job as commandant is to look 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the line. But I also have to try to balance operations as well. And as the budget's been squeezed down a bit, the only thing you can take out of it on a year-to-year basis is a reduction in our operational presence out there.
And so what does the current fiscal year, and now we know a little bit about fiscal 2015, how do they compare with that bad situation that you found yourselves in last year?
Well, sequestration is the big deal. I mean, that hurt all the services, and it hurt us greatly, as I said, because we had to reduce operations. Getting rid of sequestration and getting the balanced budget agreement with Congress really has put us on better footing. And during this year, fiscal year 14, we're returning our cutters and our boats and our aircraft up to our historic levels of operation.
We're speaking with Admiral Bob Papp. He is the Commandant of the Coast Guard. And what effect does all this have on the sailors that are there, know that because there's no fuel, they can't go out and do their jobs?
It's very frustrating for them. Coast Guardsmen love to have good tools and the opportunity to use them, and the taxpayers have been providing those ships and aircraft, and they want to get out there and not only perform the job, but it also adds to their proficiency. One of my pushes as commandant is to make sure our people are well prepared to take on their duties, because we send them out to do dangerous things. Last year, because of inability to get underway, we actually had junior officers who were finishing up their tours without being completely qualified in their duties because they couldn't get enough underway days. Also for pilots, it's taking us longer to get our pilots qualified because we don't get enough flight hours. So those sort of things have a lasting effect. Hopefully now that we're able to restore our hours in FY14, we'll be back on track to perform our normal performance levels.
I want to return to the subject of the drug interdictions, because that's one of the most important long-range things that you do at the Coast Guard. And did you have to rely more on foreign partners or do other things, say leverage technology, when you faced this budget crunch and couldn't afford the fuel? Is there anything that really you learned from that time that you can take forward into the better years?
Absolutely. That's the beauty of the Coast Guard. We're very creative at coming up with solutions. First of all, between South and Central America, we've got about 40 bilateral agreements with other countries to work cooperatively with them to supplement. Now, not all of them are as technically or professionally qualified as our folks, but we'll take the help anywhere we can get it. We also have Canada, the Netherlands, France, and Great Britain, who occasionally send their Navy ships through those waters. And we put U.S. Coast Guard law enforcement detachments on them, which allows them, if they detect a target of interest, we can actually have them change operational control to the Coast Guard, deploy one of our law enforcement teams, and arrest those people under U.S. law.
And what about aircraft, too? Because that's part of the whole mix here. Was that an equally grounded situation as the boats were docked?
Yeah, aircraft is really the problem, because a ship has limited vision. The extent of your radar, or if you can put aircraft out there, you can expand your horizon and do searches to vector your ship in to take on these targets. We really need maritime patrol hours out there. If you just put a ship out in the water, it's got a very limited view, and lots of times you're just boring holes in the water out there as you try to search for targets. So the aircraft portion is very important to us.
And overall, how are you doing in terms of being able to interdict more and more of the drugs, cocaine, for example, that is heading to our shores? Is it becoming harder, or are you making progress?
Becoming harder. The national goal under the National Drug Control Policy was by this time to be closer to a 40% disruption of cocaine flow from South America to the United States. We're at best doing about 14 or 15% right now, and that's going down. And it's primarily because a lack of assets. We know the targets are out there. We have an interagency task force in Key West, Florida that deals with intelligence and gathering other information. We're probably only able to prosecute about 30% of the targets that they identify. Once they identify them and we can target them, we've got about a 90% success rate in stopping those targets and disrupting the cocaine flow. But it's all a matter of resources to put on target down there, and we just don't have enough.
And did you notice any response by the smugglers? Did they change their tactics? Did they get a little bit bolder, knowing that the Coast Guard was not out there in the force that you wish it had been?
Absolutely. They know it. They're very smart. What we're really after is networks here. These are drug trafficking organizations, or DTOs. They're very sophisticated. They've got good intelligence. They use tactics against us. We counter with tactics. In fact, one of our really neat things we're doing is they transport from South America to Central America in what we call fast boats, or go fasts, boats that can carry about 3 or 4 metric tons of cocaine with just three or four or five outboards on them. They go very fast. We've countered that with helicopters with trained marksmen who can shoot out outboard engines and stop them. So they adapt to us. They've used semi-submersibles. They've even tried submarines, but they get bolder and they'll use those go fast when they know the target's not out there.
And, Admiral, we know that you're retiring. You just gave your last State of the Coast Guard speech recently. What's your advice for your successor?
For my successor is to keep the foot on the pedal and keep going hard. It's a constant struggle. Our country is challenged both economically and in the federal budget. We believe that the Coast Guard is a good place to spend the taxpayers' money. We've got great friends in Congress because they know they get a good return on investment. So my advice to him is, first of all, keep the standards high within the service. Make sure our people are operating out there and gaining their proficiency. And then keep telling the story so that we get the support from both the administration and the Congress to get the right tools out there for our people.
And real quick before we let you go, how's that new headquarters building working out?
It is the best office in, building in Washington, D.C. I'm sitting looking out my window across the Potomac River at Reagan Airport right now, watching the sunrise behind me reflected on all the windows of the office buildings. But besides just having a great view, it is probably one of the most technologically advanced and environmentally friendly buildings that's been constructed. It's an award-winning building, and we're really proud to have it as our Coast Guard headquarters.